Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? It's about that time. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports on this Monday, September 18th, 2017. I hope you all had a great weekend out there. But we are back at it here behind the mic, ready for yet another entertaining 60 minutes. Well, today is Current Sports. We will try our best to recap the weekend that was in the sporting world, especially college football. College football, in my opinion, is really becoming the sport here in America. Yeah, even more so than the NFL. And we will recap a wild Saturday that included a few upsets here and there. How about the Michigan Wolverines struggling a bit against Air Force? We'll also talk about Michigan State now as they look to come off a bye week with a win over Notre Dame. Spartan Stadium will be rocking this Saturday under the lights. It's going to be a striped game, so certain sections will wear green while others will wear white. We'll talk about what this game will mean to the Spartans if they can get a dub over the Fighting Irish. So we'll talk a lot of college football on today's show. And, of course, it is Monday, and the Detroit Lions will play tonight on primetime television, Monday Night Football, as the Lions hit the road to play the New York Football Giants. We'll have some coverage from Friday night high school football as well, as Current Sports was in the house to witness the Lansing Sexton and Grand Ledge football game. You'll get a chance to hear from head coach of the Comets, Matt Bird, and the head coach of the Big Reds, Mr. Dan Bogan. You don't want to miss that. And to close out the show, we'll talk some boxing as Gennady Golovkin and Canelo Alvarez, a highly anticipated fight, ended in a lot of disappointment for many fight fans out there. I saw the fight and was a bit perturbed at the result. You'll find out why in just a moment. If you want to be a part of the fun, you know that number. I see comments coming in right now via facebook.com/currentsports. You can tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR underscore sports. Or, of course, you can just pick up that phone and hit 517-355-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527. That's the number to call if you would like to chime in on anything that happens to be on your sports noggin. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners, brought to you with a little help from our production assistants and reporters, Casey Harrison and John LeBlanc. right, and we start with some scores from Friday night high school football. A few scores I want to pass along to you all. East Lansing topping Jackson, 52-36, the final there. Holt over Lansing Eastern, 56-6. Grand Ledge over Sexton in what many view to be the game of the week. The Grand Ledge Comets topping Lansing Sexton 27-14 in a game that will have end of the season CAAC blue implications as to who could possibly pull out that conference title. So the Comets topping Lansing Sexton there. Okemos, what a start to the year for the Okemos Chiefs. 49-0 over Lansing Everett. DeWitt over Charlotte, 49-7. Hazlitt beats Mason, 24-3. St. John's over Waverly, 41-8. Portland over Fowlerville, 42-7. And Lansing Catholic over Williamston in an absolute thriller, 35-34. That may be your game of the year so far in the early weeks of high school, local high school football action. The Michigan Wolverines college football team was unable to score a touchdown in the red zone but Jim Harbaugh and company improved to 3-0 on Saturday with a 29-13 defeat over Air Force. Wilton State, 14-23 passing behind 169 yards. He was sacked twice. Ty Isaac and Karen Higdon combined for 153 rushing yards and a touchdown. And speaking of Ty Isaac,
big hole. Isaac to the sideline, trying to turn on the speed. Isaac inside the 20, all the way home.
Boy. So what a run. What a run, Ty Isaac. That was pretty impressive, Mr. Isaac Constance. Just your thoughts. I know we're going to dive into this in just a moment, Isaac, but seeing how Michigan has struggled against Air Force, Wilton Spade has looked a bit inaccurate. How big are you on the Wolverines right now, and should they be ranked in the top 10?
Well, I love the name Isaac, of course, and I love Ty Isaac. He's a top running back in the country even, but nonetheless, I'm pretty down on the Wolverines. Their national ranking is, what, 8 now or something like that? And I'd rate them at about a 5 of 10 right now on my current favorability scale. I'm not hot on the Wolverines whatsoever. I like their defense, but that offense needs some fine tuning.
Yeah, we're in agreement when it comes to those points that you just stated, Isaac. And again, we're going to dive more into this in just a moment. But yeah, I don't know how they're still ranked in the top 10. And I don't know how your LSU Tigers, after getting just whomped on yesterday, Saturday against what, Mississippi State?
Yeah.
A complete blowout. They got embarrassed. How did they hang on to the top 25? I couldn't believe that, right?
Beyond me.
Crazy. All right. Again, Michigan dropped one spot to number 8 in the AP top 25 and will open up Big Ten play this week with a trip out to West Lafayette to play a Purdue team that looks pretty good, I must say. More on U of M football in just a moment, but keeping this train moving. John LeBlanc, what you got, man?
The Spartans have opened up this week against Notre Dame, obviously playing the Fighting Irish. They opened up as a 4-point underdog against the 2-1 Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Fighting Irish are coming off a 49-21 against Boston College. Well, the Spartans are obviously coming off a bye week. 10 players went down to Houston to help out with Hurricane Harvey. Relief efforts, Tyler Higbee and Daryl Stewart Jr., the two Houston natives. Kickoff right now is scheduled for 8 p.m. on Fox after that Michigan-Purdue game.
Yeah, before moving forward, I do want to give a shout-out to all of those players who went out to Houston to help out with the Hurricane Harvey relief. Houston natives, as you mentioned, John, Daryl Stewart Jr. and Tyler Higbee, they were joined by 6 teammates, Matt Allen, Matt Sokol, Brett Scanlon, Jake Hartbarger, Josh Butler, and Jack McKenna. Those are all of the Michigan State football players that made the trip down south to help out with the Harvey relief efforts. And they got down and dirty. They had masks on. I saw on social media, Isaac, they were in houses cleaning, moving wood from place to place. You love seeing stories like this. And I think it goes far when it comes to building team camaraderie later on down the year, for sure.
It does. And when it hits close to home, you know, it's a lot easier to see that immediate impact. So for the teammates who even weren't from the Houston area, to see, I'm sure, what it meant to their teammates who were.
Right.
Boy, I mean, that sort of stuff, like you said, just goes such a long way for team chemistry, and it's doing the right thing. It feels good.
Without a doubt, and the trip also was organized by the Spartans Athletes in Action chapter. All right, Casey, what you got, dude?
So, 3 years after leaving Michigan State University, Draymond Green still getting his alma mater in trouble with the NCAA for FaceTime calls with then-recruit Miles Bridges back in 2015. First reported by Chris Solari of the Detroit Free Press, Green called Bridges multiple times, including 2 days after he donated $3.1 million to the Michigan State Athletics Department, though no recruiting talk ever took place. The violation was deemed by the NCAA as an athletics representative of a member institution initiating a call with a recruit. The NCAA determined MSU's coaching staff did not directly initiate Green to call Bridges and or with any of the calls that was first reported as a level 3 infraction. These are the only violations reporting involving Tom Izzo's program since June 2016. The Free Press also reported MSU football had self-reported 11 secondary violations since August 1st, 2013.
I'll have more on that in just a minute, Case. Well, not just a minute, probably later on this hour before we close out the show. But that's the NCAA for you. You can't even FaceTime nowadays without the NCAA wanting to know. All right, John, MSU men's soccer, big weekend, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. MSU men's soccer, not the only team undefeated on this East Lansing campus. Number 6 in the nation took on in-state rival the Michigan Wolverines. Won in overtime in Ann Arbor, keeping the Big Bear Trophy in East Lansing. Forward DeJuan Jones leading the team in goals with 4, leading the team in points with 9. Kicked in the right side of the net with 32 seconds left in overtime, from a header from defender Jimmy Fiskus. Jones leads the team in points and goals. And the Spartans will have a nice break before they face off against the number 3 Maryland Terps. That game will be Friday at 7 p.m. at D. Martin Stadium under the lights.
What a moment it was. I caught the highlight of the DeJuan Jones game-winning goal on social media. I tried to get DeJuan on the show today. He, unfortunately, this thing called class here at Michigan State deterred that. So he has class until 3:30. I'm trying to get DeJuan Jones on Current Sports tomorrow, if not tomorrow. We're going to get him on this week, okay? So stay tuned throughout the week here on Current Sports. But what a moment for DeJuan Jones. How about MSU women's soccer, Casey?
Yeah, first of all, I mean, DeJuan, the DeWitt kid, so good for him. But
well, East Lansing. Does he live in DeWitt?
No.
East Lansing. Like, hold on. Okay, yeah, the East Lansing native, right? Yeah.
But yeah, MSU women's soccer, contrary to the men's team, they snapped 162-minute scoring drought with 2 goals on Sunday, but the Spartans dropped a 6-2 decision against Purdue. Junior forward Lexi Warner and Jamie Cheslick each put shots in the back of the net as the Spartans fall to 4-5-0 on the season and 0-2 in conference play. The Spartans will take a few days off now before heading to Madison on Thursday to take on the University of Wisconsin. That match against the Badgers will kick off at 9 p.m. and will be televised on BTN.
All right, what about MSU field hockey, John?
Well, MSU field hockey beat an Ivy League team, what we all enjoy to see. Beat the Yale Bulldogs 4-0, which was the first shutout for the Spartan season. After coming off a gruesome 6-0 loss to the Wolverines in Ann Arbor, who was also number 8 in the nation, I was there for that game. The Spartans did not look that good. They looked like Michigan just kind of had the ball pretty much the whole time. The state didn't
really.
They controlled it. Mackenzie Brown had led the victory for MSU with scoring 2 goals. Brown's the first Spartan since Kelsey Keener back last year, actually October 21st at Iowa, to score 2 goals in a game. The now 4-5 Spartans will next play the Miami Redhawks down in Ohio in Oxford at 3 p.m.
Oh, boy. And Matt Boyd, almost, even though the Tigers are so irrelevant, but Matt Boyd put on a show at Comerica Park, didn't he, Casey?
Yes, he did. So Tigers starting pitcher Matthew Boyd flirted with history on Sunday, but White Sox infielder Tim Anderson said, nuh-uh. He broke up Boyd's no-hitter with 2 outs in the 9th, and we got the call for you.
One more to go, and it's Tim Anderson, the 2-0 pitch. In the air toward right center field, Castellanos on the run, still going, not going to get it, it's over his head. Up against the wall, and it's going to be a double for Tim Anderson to break up a no-hit bid.
Boyd, however, went on to pitch his first ever complete game as the Tigers defeated Chicago 12-0. Detroit will now welcome in the Oakland Athletics for a 3-game homestand. Buck Farmer will get the start and go up against Jahurl Cotton First pitch is scheduled for 7:10 p.m.
And, John, last but not least, Monday Night Football featuring the Honolulu Blue.
Exactly. The Lions are looking to improve their record to 2-0 on the young season as they face off against the New York Football Giants at 8:30 p.m. on ESPN. The Giants are coming
off. Oh, I wish it was the Cowboys.
How did they look yesterday?
They looked horrible. Don't even start. I mean, I'm going to go down that rat. I know probably Isaac's going to give me crap later on this hour, but I'm not in a great mood this Monday because of that game. But, yeah, keeping it pushing.
Okay, yeah. So the Giants are looking for their first win season after losing to the Cowboys 19-3 last week. Giants wide receiver OBJ, Odell Beckham Jr., is a game-time decision as of right now with that injured ankle that he suffered in the NFL preseason. Ziggy Ansah is the only person questionable for the Lions as of right now. And again, the Lions will kick off on Monday Night Football on ESPN at 8:30. Looking to see if Kenny Galladay can get a better performance. Not a better performance, but a repeat performance.
Well, I'll tell you what, one of my matchups to watch tonight will be Galladay versus Eli Apple, because my Cowboys picked on Eli Apple all day when they beat the Giants in game one. All right, Casey, John, outstanding job. Thank you, gents. Again, if you want to be a part of the show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's keep this train a-moving.
Fitzgerald arrived with his game day focus. The Cats and Clayton Thorson have one last chance to make an impression before Big Ten play is here. It's time to play some football here in Evanston, Illinois, presented by John Deere. A primetime stage for the Wildcats' final non-conference test, Bowling Green and Northwestern on BTN. Hello and welcome, and thank you for making us a part of your Saturday night alongside the College Football Hall of Famer, Chuck Long. I'm Lisa Bynson, and Chuck, Northwestern is on the wrong side of deja vu. We know they started last season in the non-conference 0-2. Last week, they dropped the game to Duke, and so we're left wondering, what Northwestern team do we have in 2017?
Well, we'll find out tonight. They better get it right fast because the Big Ten season is looming with Wisconsin coming up after this game.
Monday. Ladies and gents, boys and girls, you are locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Back at it, another week of fun-filled sports talk right here on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. Before moving forward, I want to give a big shout-out to Lisa Byington, former mentor of mine when I was in college. Those who tune into WLNS TV6 know Lisa from Channel 6 News here locally, as she was the second reporter right under still current Channel 6 News director Fred Heumann. And I was actually an intern of Lisa and Fred's for over 2 years as a student at Michigan State University. And Lisa has now gone on to bigger and better things with the Big Ten Network. She was actually with the network back when it began back in 2007. And she became the first woman play-by-play broadcaster to do a football game, to broadcast a football game as the play-by-play broadcaster on the Big Ten Network. How about that? Very cool stuff. Very, very cool stuff. And, you know, she got a chance to do it at her alma mater, at Northwestern, as Northwestern topped Bowling Green. So big ups to Lisa. doing great things in her career. Incredibly proud of her. This area here in Michigan is incredibly proud of her. So, you know, we do a segment called Weekend Winners each and every Monday at the end of current sports. And surprise, I let mine out early. Lisa Byington is my numero uno weekend winner. All right, keeping it pushing. I want to talk some college football first. And there's so many. There were so many intriguing games over the weekend. So many thrilling games over the weekend. How about that USC and Texas game? Gosh, I can't believe, you know, this is the first time we've seen both of those programs go at it since the legendary game with, of course, Vince Young back in the day. So, you know, when looking at it, you look at the entire landscape of college football now, and you look at the AP Top 25 rankings. I've got a few quarrels with how it panned out over the weekend. But starting locally, you know, Michigan State wasn't in action this weekend because they have an early bye for another year. And they will now welcome the Notre Dame Fighting Irish to Spartan Stadium on Saturday. We'll get to that later on. But I want to talk about the University of Michigan football program. And I know we have two callers on, Dave and Mike. Hold on. I'm going to get you in just a moment. But, you know, we briefly hinted on it during our headliners. U of M struggling against Air Force. 29-13 was the final. The Wolverines are 3-0. Despite how they've looked, the record is still unblemished at 3-0, and will now play a Purdue team that is 2-1 after beating Mizzou 35-3 on Saturday. And heck, they pushed Louisville to the brink at the first game of the season, losing to Louisville by just a touchdown. And how about Clemson handling business over Louisville? I mean, you can make an argument that Clemson right now looks like the best team in college football. I love Oklahoma State as well. But how Clemson was able to contain Lamar Jackson was very, very impressive. But right now, U of M, you know, you evaluate this team. Defense has been terrific. The Wolverines held Air Force to 232 yards on Saturday. That's actually the lowest output from a Troy Calhoun coach team since 2012. The Falcons had three plays that hit for 125 yards. Three plays that totaled 125, but the other 55 only banked for a total of 107. So you look at the offensive production for the Falcons. It was a bit glaring at first, and I do believe that U of M did have a bit of trouble when it came to that triple option. But, again, only three plays that totaled 125 yards and 55 that barely got them over 100. That's pretty impressive. And this defense has been pretty impressive so far in just the three games that they played. They look fast. They've been able to get good pressure on the quarterback. They actually are limiting quarterbacks to a 40% completion percentage. The U of M defense has been a pleasant surprise. Special teams has as well. How about Quinn Nordine? Wow, he already has 11 field goals on the season. He's on pace right now to break the record of 25 for a season. He's already got 11 through three games. You think he's going to get that record? I believe so. And I think that Jim Harbaugh sleeping over Nordine's house when he was in high school and Jim Harbaugh tried to recruit him, I think that paid off. Jim Harbaugh sleeping over Quinn Nordine's house. No matter how weird that sounds, it paid off, brother, because he is talented and he's quite the weapon to have, especially when your offense isn't putting up big numbers. And Donovan Peoples-Jones, harping on the special teams a little bit more, Donovan Peoples-Jones, he got out of the doghouse, and I think he silenced a lot of the critics out there that were a bit wary of Donovan Peoples-Jones being the kick returner because he didn't have a great week two. But that 79-yard punt return that he had, tiptoeing the right sideline, was quite impressive. Only his third game. But, you know, and it was really, really, really interesting, too, because I have some breaking news too for you all. I don't know if you guys saw this just yet. This news just broke. But, we, you know, we saw Donovan Peoples-Jones as well as Tariq Black both playing, you know, receivers, both freshmen in the second half. I found that to be quite interesting, but I don't think we'll see that for quite some time, seeing as though Tariq Black will now have to undergo surgery after suffering a cracked bone on the outside of his foot. That's what head coach Jim Harbaugh told reporters today. So Michigan's leading wide receiver through three games injured in the fourth quarter of Saturday's win over Air Force. He was carted off to the locker room. It looked serious, and Harbaugh went on to say today that he does not know whether or not Black will be back this season. That's a big blow. It's a big blow for this team because Tariq Black, I think he's been very impressive in just three games for the Wolverines. And I want to give mad props right now to one of our listeners out there. Thank you, Ben, because I just saw that news via our Facebook live stream. Ben Grimes actually broke that news on our Facebook live stream. And I had to like do some quick Googling as I'm talking just to confirm it. So Tariq Black out with a broken foot, which is very unfortunate. But Stevie Wonder can see what's wrong with this U of M team right now. It's the offense. Defense and special teams have been pretty solid, but the offense, there's no consistency right now for this University of Michigan offense. Right now, the offense has scored 5 touchdowns through 12 quarters. Defense and special teams has 4. It shouldn't be that close, right? Crazy numbers. Also, when it comes to third down efficiency, when you have to make a big play and keep the chains moving and rally your troops for long drives that lead to eventual touchdowns, hopefully in an ideal world, right? On third downs right now, U of M ranks 102nd nationally, converting only 34%. 34% of its first downs. Not going to get the job done. And then the bugaboos of the red zone. Michigan, 1-for-10 this season. When it comes to red zone opportunities, they were 0-for-4 on Saturday afternoon alone. I found it quite interesting as Jim Harbaugh took the podium after Saturday's win over the Falcons. He admitted that the play calling has not been great in the red zone. And watching that game on Saturday, one thing that I noted was in the first half, it's first and goal on the Falcons 9. And this, again, proves Jim Harbaugh's comments to be quite accurate, that the play calling needs to be better. But first and goal at the 9, and the Wolverines call something to the corner, back of the end zone. If you know that Wilton Spade has struggled with accuracy, that's not one of his strong suits, why, as a coaching staff, put him in the position to not succeed? He had a tight window to try and fit that football through. And first and goal, why not run the football? Why not hand it off to Chris Evans? Why not hand it off to Ty Isaac and get something going that way? But, you cost something first and goal, back corner of the end zone? I didn't understand that whatsoever. And this just isn't about Wilton Spade. I want to give a shout out to Jack Ebeling, because Jack invited me to his television show on Fox Press Pass, and along with Tom Crawford and Doug Warren, we all kind of debated about the U of M team and exactly what is wrong with this squad right now. And we all, pretty much were on the same accord. How when you hear U of M fans criticizing what is wrong with the offense right now, they always point, the first thing they do is point at Wilton Spade, point at the quarterback. That's always been a lazy sports argument, in my opinion, when trying to figure out what is exactly wrong with an offense. It's collective here. Play calling has to be better. The coaching staff hasn't necessarily put Wilton Spade in the best position to succeed. But it's a combination. It's the guys up front. The offensive line has to be better. They have to open up holes for guys like Isaac and Evans to run through. The wide receivers can't drop balls. It's a bigger problem than just Wilton Spade here. This trickles down from Jim Harbaugh to the rest of his coaching staff, to Wilton Spade and the rest of that offense. So I'm not big on the Wolverines right now, and the fact that they are still ranked in the top 10, that's a fluke. Again, don't get crazy over week four rankings here, okay? We still got a lot of college football left to play, and the outlook of the Big Ten is not great right now. Let's be honest. Let's be real here. You know, right now, you know, Michigan drops from 7 to 8 in the AP poll. They look pretty pedestrian for the most part against Air Force, as I've been hammering home for the last 5 minutes here. Wisconsin, they're interesting. Wisconsin is very interesting because they're not in the Big Ten East. They're in the Big Ten West. Right now, the Badgers are outscoring its opponents 100 to 30. Look very impressive for yet another week, which is why they moved up to the number 9 spot. But again, they haven't played anybody, right? But Wisconsin sitting in the West, this may bode well for the Badgers. I mean, they can kind of be like silent killers out there, because out of the four teams that are ranked in the AP top 25, in Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State, only one team doesn't have to at least play two of those top four teams from the Big Ten. You know who that one team is? Yeah, you guessed it. The Badgers. That's it. Wisconsin, they only have to play Michigan. But Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State have to at least play two of the top four teams in the Big Ten as the year rolls along. Yeah, Wisconsin will play Michigan November 18th. So that's interesting to me. Wisconsin is a very intriguing team to really look at as the Big Ten year rolls along. Ohio State moves down two spots. They played Army over the weekend. Still trying to get folks to forget about Oklahoma. Still trying to forget about the nightmare of Baker Mayfield running around Ohio Stadium with the Oklahoma flag and then running to the middle of the field and planting that flag. That's a moment that, come on, you got to believe that the committee, anytime Ohio State is now brought up throughout the rest of the year, the committee is going to be thinking about that moment, right? That was a bad loss for the Buckeyes. So when you play Army the next week, and again, you beat Army, but it's Army. You don't do a lot to get people to forget about what happened the week prior to. OSU, I don't think they should be ranked as high as 10. They got wins over Indiana and Army. And oh, yeah, they trailed Indiana at the half. I'm not buying Ohio State, and I'm not big on JT Barrett. I've let that be known last week. Penn State, they beat Akron, Pittsburgh. And how about who saw the Pitt? Did you see the Pitt and Oklahoma State on Saturday game, Isaac? Ugly. Fans were falling asleep. Did you see that montage?
I did.
There were five fans in a row that they showed that were like in La La Land. Absolutely hilarious. But, you know, so Pitt doesn't look that great. But again, shout out to Pat Narduzzi, former Michigan State defensive coordinator. I do still think that Pat Narduzzi is the right man for the job when it comes to Pitt. But, you know, you look at Penn State. They've beaten Akron, Pitt, Georgia State. They haven't really played anybody. Two of three games have been shutouts. The defending Big Ten champs in the Nittany Lions, they haven't given the committee a reason, or voters, I should say, a reason to not have them ranked out of the top five. And Saquon Barkley has looked absolutely amazing. So as the Big Ten year rolls along, I don't know. I don't know if the Big Ten will have a team represented this year in the college football playoff. I just don't know. Again, when I think about, you know, Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio State, and Penn State, three of those four teams having to play at least two of those teams. Only other team is Wisconsin. I don't feel confident at the end of the day that when looking at the entire spectrum of college football, that the committee would say, you know what, we got to throw in blah, blah, blah. I don't know who that blah, blah, blah team would be. And also from there, and I'm going to get your thought. I know I'm going on a rant here, Isaac, but I want to get your thoughts.
Keep going.
But also talking about the rankings, the AP Top 25, the latest rankings of the AP Top 25, Florida ranked at 20. I don't know about that either. I think that's too high for Florida. Beat a Michigan team that does not look very impressive right now, and they needed a Hail Mary full of grace to beat Tennessee. I don't know about that. Florida at 20, no. And then again, LSU at top in the top 25 still, hanging on, like barely hanging on in the top 25. I mean, like hanging off a ledge right now at number 25. They are 2-1, got absolutely embarrassed by Mississippi State, and they have wins over what? BYU and Chattanooga?
Yep.
I don't know about that one, yo. Thoughts, Isaac?
Yeah, you know, first for me, USC at number 5 comes up, and I just shake my head again. Because Are they number five? No, they're not the fifth best team in the nation, not by any far cry. But this is a problem again each and every year. Boy, they've got Darnold at quarterback this year. They had who back in the day? They had Matt Leinart. That's when they were good, but that's when they were last legitimate contenders for a title. The thing is, USC, every single time, they've got some pretty boy quarterback who everybody gets high up on, and they put him in the top four. They put him in the top three. They don't deserve to be there. And USC has a close call against Texas, who is still in the middle of recovery.
I will say, though, Texas looks good, Isaac.
Texas is better.
They are a lot better, man. I think this team is going to be very good as the years roll along. I mean, watching that game against USC, I was very impressed with Texas' defense in that game.
Texas is good, but Texas USC is too high.
I believe that as well. Okay, yeah, I agree. We're on the same page.
All right. And then Oklahoma State, number six. Mm-hmm. I don't mind that. I think Oklahoma State is legit this year.
Too.
And
I
when
do
you
too.
Look at them, their quarterback, Mason Rudolph, has all the makings for a Heisman contender.
Mike Gundy,
we've heard him earlier on in this show. He's part of our intro, of course. He's been such a force for that program in terms of leveling them with Oklahoma. I like Oklahoma State a lot this year. Teams that I don't like as much, many you already said, Michigan. Too high up. I mean, Michigan, they've got a great defense, as I said before. That defensive front is as good as I've seen. That offense needs some work. And it's so systemic. It's every single position, mm-hmm. with the exception of possibly running back, that could use some sort of alteration. Receiver, that was not a position of strength because they were only two deep as far as I was concerned. But the injury to Black now, Donovan Peoples-Jones is their only legit go up and get it receiver on that team. Now, Michigan has some worries. Besides that, more or less the same. Florida State 0-1. They haven't done anything to merit a number 12 spot, even if some of that is having games delayed by Hurricane Irma, of course. Mm-hmm. But overall, no. The Big Ten is weak this year. At least it seems that way, three games in. If there's a team to make the college football playoff from the Big Ten, I said it last week, I'll say it again, I think it is Penn State, but their first real test comes next week when they travel to Iowa.
Yeah, when they play the Hawkeyes, because right now they played a bunch of lollipops and cupcakes, okay? I want to hit our first break. Is Mike and Dave still on? I want to get to Mike and Dave. Mike and Dave, stay there. And again, if you want to call in, be a part of the conversation, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We're going to talk some boxing, the Triple G and Alvarez fight. So upsetting. We'll talk about that as well as the Lions and the Giants in just a moment. That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports.
Flying by the planet's moon. You don't need to explain if everything's changed. Just know I'm just like you.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Just finished up segment A, talking about the landscape of college football after a pretty exciting Saturday. We harped on U of M and Air Force and what exactly is wrong with the Wolverines offense. Big question mark there. And then we kind of looked at the rest of the Big Ten. Again, the four teams ranked in the AP Top 25 from the conference are Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio State, and Penn State. Also, I wanted to bring up Nebraska as well. Nebraska, that was ugly on Saturday by Nebraska. Tanner Lee, I mean, he throws two first-quarter INTs. The Nebraska AD, it got so bad that even the Nebraska athletic director came out and made comments after that game and said that he is sticking behind Mike Riley. And to put things in perspective when it comes to Mike Riley, though, Nebraska has started the year 1-2. Nebraska has started 1-2 three times in the past 56 seasons. Let that sink in. Nebraska,
has started 1-2 just 3 times in 56 seasons. 2 of those 3 have come under Mike Riley. It's bad. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's go to line one right now. We've got Mike from Saginaw that wants to join the fun. Mike, you are on Current Sports.
Thank you, Mr. L. Martin. I was going to ask you, you're going to keep me longer than Sterling K. Brown at the Emmys last night, man, because they wouldn't let him speak. What do you think about that, man? Well, what's your take on it?
And I love Sterling K. Brown. I think he was absolutely great. And the People versus O.J., that's when I first saw him. Then he's great, and This Is Us. I saw his speech last night. Let's be real here. It did go kind of long, though. It did. It went kind of long, so I get it. And he handled it well. I thought he handled it well. You got to just go up there, thank who you want to thank, say something inspirational, and keep it moving. But I thought he did a good job. Sterling K. Brown is my guy.
What do you think about them storming the stages? Because when two people, when they won it, if a couple more shows, they storm the stages, like The Handmaid's Tale. And
right.
What's another show they storm the stage? Like 30 or 40 people.
I believe Veep was another one of those where they all came up. And I've never even seen The Handmaid's Tale. I had to do some Googling last night as I watched that. I'm going to have to check that out. But I have no problem with that. I mean, it's more than a couple actors that make TV magic. So I have no problem with that, Mike.
What about the announcer? The announcer, he was announcing all the facts when they was introduced.
I like that as well. Yeah, he was solid too, man. He was different. He was a DJ. I forget his name. He did a really good job. Really good job. I thought it was a really good show. And Stephen Colbert was great as well.
Because he's on that show called Superior Donuts. It's on a Monday.
Never seen it, Mike. Never seen it.
All right, man. Oh, man, you got to get into it, man. But I know this is just regular TV I'm talking about here.
Right.
But I'm going to ask you a sports question. Do you notice the quality of NFL quarterback? Do you think it's enough talent in the league now that the quarterbacks are – Well, it's just terrible, man, because I see some of these quarterbacks, man. Do you think they should be all on the starting the NFL games? What's your take on that?
Well, I think there's a lot of talented quarterbacks in the NFL, Mike. I'm curious to know, I mean, when you make that statement, what quarterbacks stand out that you don't think are that great? I mean, there's some bad NFL quarterbacks, but you look at the top of the top, and there's 7 to 8 that you can bring up are solid.
We're not talking about Matt Stafford or Aaron Rodgers. I'm talking about people like Blake Bortles and who else? The guy in Cincinnati, Andy Dalton, the guy in Miami. But it looks like, do they figure that the quarterbacks are already – here's what I'm trying to get to, Al, is the quarterback position. You can't just put them in – I'm thinking that you just can't put them in and start them in a regular season game before they get to learn the system and learn the players on the team and everything. What's your take on that?
Well, it depends on the program, Mike. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at, for instance, a team like the New York Jets right now, right? When you're in rebuild mode, I mean, sometimes you have to have a complete overhaul and draft. Through the draft, you have to draft a quarterback and really mold that quarterback. I think it's a bit unfair for a lot of fans out there to expect a quarterback. Not everybody's Jameis Winston, right? To expect the quarterback to come in to try and learn an entire NFL playbook in a very condensed amount of time and expect that quarterback to come in and lead them to the promised land. There are very few QBs that can enter the league right off bat and have success. So when it comes to the franchise, they're going to be growing pains. And I think it's a lazy sports argument that when you evaluate some of the bottom-tier NFL teams out there, to just point the finger and say that right there, meaning the quarterback, is the sole problem or the problem with our franchise. It extends further than that, Mike.
Okay, that's a good thought, man. I take it like this. Now, you were talking about a guy from Belleville. His name's Gabe Brown, right?
Yes.
He's talking about Michigan State got him for 2000. Did you know their football team 4-0 or 3-1? Because I read that in the Detroit News.
I have no idea.
If
it's not local high school, Mike, it's hard for me to keep track of what's going on in other areas. But yeah, I'm not sure. We can look that up for you though, for sure.
Oh, we gotta I appreciate keep it... that, man.
All
Thanks
right.
For giving me a shout out. I appreciate it, man. I'll be calling. Keep calling.
My man, Mike from Saginaw. I love hearing from you, brother. Line two, we've got Dave from Wyoming. Dave, bring the heat. What's up?
Hey, well, I obviously, if you watch the Emmys that much, you miss Green Bay getting embarrassed in the first half.
I turned it off, man. I mean, who wants to? I couldn't believe that, too. You know what? I had, you know, just to vent for a sec, Dave. I don't know if you know anything about ESPN Streak for Cash, but I play Streak for Cash every single week. You know, the longest streak at the end of the month gets, you know, a pot of moolah. And I've been playing it for years, never won a dime. But my longest streak out of the 7 years I've been playing it is 14. I had number 14 on the line last night, and I chose the Green Bay Packers, and they just didn't show up in the building out in Atlanta at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So yeah, that was tough to watch.
That was awful. I think the shine has gone off Dak Prescott a little bit. It's amazing what a year of video does to an NFL quarterback.
But it's only one game. I hear where you're going.
You know, I'm going to hear it's only one game.
It's only one game.
I'm going to repeat that. a year of video, and they have to expand the playbook a little bit for him.
Right, right. I agree. I agree with that.
Right. You know, last year he could be sort of a one-trick pony, and it worked. Mm-hmm. Nobody was adjusting. Too many smart guys in the NFL in defense.
Right.
Jump into Michigan offense for a second. There's a reason why Quinn Nordin has hit 11 field goals, because their offense stinks.
Exactly. You know? Yep. The offense can't score a touchdown, so you got to kick three.
How many years have we watched the Detroit Lions, their leading scorer, be mm-hmm. the kicker?
Exactly.
That's one guy you never want to see in the stat line too much.
Right, right.
And there he was. A couple other quick things. I feel bad for University of Texas quarterback who was injured mm-hmm. because I don't think he's going to get his spot back after that true freshman took over and played the way he did against USC.
Mm-hmm.
I think USC did expose that they got some that offensive line isn't quite as much as Darnell got sacked. I still think it's still Mama, don't let your Cowboys grow up to be babies out in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in Norman. And
Nice.
And because Oklahoma State always seems to go, and I think that they got to play Texas, which is not necessarily going to be good. It was like a perfect storm of Pitt's weaknesses against what Oklahoma State could do. Right. I don't think Pitt is quite that bad. I don't think Oklahoma State is quite that good. I think when they play Oklahoma, mm-hmm. I think when they play Oklahoma and they play Texas, and even Kansas State, it's going to be a little bit different situation. And the last is, just when I thought boxing would have a chance to redeem itself, they screw it up.
Mm-hmm.
I watched that fight, and I thought it was a tight one. But I thought it was probably a 115, 113, 115, 112.
Thank you.
Affair. How one guy can have it that lopsided, another one have it go the other way, and another guy have the gall to call it even, just reeks of money calling for rematches.
Thank you.
Why? And they could have had a close fight, called it the way I guess I saw it,
mm-hmm.
maybe even called it for Canelo. Alvarez, but to call it a draw is Petty Atlas summed it up about as good as anybody could. And if you get the clip of that rant, I think it's about 35, 45 seconds.
It's great. I watched it live.
It's a great rant, and mm-hmm. I think he was spot on.
He
Thanks
was.
A lot.
Thank you, Dave. Great take as always, and we have about 10 minutes left in the show. That's what we're going to do right now. And correct me if I'm wrong, Isaac, but as Dave just commented on the Texas and USC game, Sam Ehlinger, who filled in as starting quarterback with Shane Bouchel's sideline with an injury, I listened to the press conference after, and looks as though Texas is still claiming Shane to be the starting quarterback, despite how good Sam Ehlinger played against USC on Saturday night. So they're still sticking with their guns there, but what a moment for that young man. Speaking of boxing, it's at our final break. When we come back, I'm going to sound off on the Gennady Golovkin and Canelo Alvarez fight on Saturday night. I watched the entire thing, and I was a bit beside myself when I heard the results. That and more will be right back to put a bow on this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Get this off my chest before we say goodbye to you all on this Monday afternoon. The Triple G and Canelo Alvarez fight over the weekend. Gennady Golovkin and Canelo Alvarez putting on quite the show in Las Vegas. Very fun fight, and it's a fight that lived up to expectation. And, you know, I chuckled watching the fight because, you know, we went crazy over the Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather fight, and it was entertaining. Don't get me wrong. I think that the hype leading up to the fight was more entertaining than the fight itself, as Floyd Mayweather's fights usually are. But when you have two individuals with the talent of Triple G and Canelo Alvarez, two fighters who are in the prime of their boxing careers going at it, two of the most exciting fighters on planet Earth, we knew that it was going to be a good one. And it certainly was. I watched that fight as I was, you know, I was slipping back and forth between the USC and Texas game, as well as that fight. And, you know, I got to a moment, especially in that fifth round. That fifth round was so good that I kind of just turned the TV away from the USC and Texas game for the moment, because the fight was getting that good. And, it just really captivated a lot of people, who watched it. And when watching the fight, you know, much like Dave from Wyoming stated, Triple G controlled the fight with his jab. Throughout 12 rounds, Triple G was in control. Canelo Alvarez had spurts where he would hit Triple G with a flurry of punches. And Triple G, my goodness, does that dude have a chin or what? He would just walk through the punches or look them off, compose himself, established the jab, and then come right back at Canelo Alvarez. And Triple G, I thought, did a great job of putting Alvarez on the ropes as well, and hitting him with some great shots. Two fighters who have trained so hard, two fighters who laid it all out in the line in that boxing ring, and at the end of the day, When you have it going the full length of 12 and there's no knockout or no knockdown, you got to look at the numbers. And the numbers, when it comes to control and accuracy, fell in favor, in my view, of Triple G. I thought Triple G won the fight, and I believe 90% of America and everybody across the world who saw that fight are in agreement. But how somebody can watch that fight as a judge ringside and score it 118 to 110 in favor of either of those young men is beyond me. Judge Adelaide Byrd, that was an absolute crime. What you did on Saturday night, to have that on your scorecard, you should have your license revoked, and you should no longer judge another fight in the sport of boxing. That was a crime. Giving Triple G only the fourth and seventh rounds on your scorecard, it will go down as one of the most shocking results, one of the most shocking scorecards in boxing history. And it's a crime, because this has been happening far too often within this sport. I mean, heck, you don't have to turn the page that long ago to bring up another fight that was a bit controversial. And we talked about it with Ryan DeLeon, who's a local MMA and boxing promoter here in Michigan, the Jeff Horn and Manny Pacquiao fight, in which I thought Manny Pacquiao clearly won, the judges giving it to a very inexperienced Jeff Horn. And I really feel bad for Manny Pacquiao throughout his career, because he's had to not only deal with the Jeff Horn fight, but if you remember the Timothy Bradley and Manny Pacquiao fight number one, that was riddled with controversy. Manny Pacquiao clearly controlled that fight, and they gave it to Timothy Bradley because they wanted to see a rematch. Politics have ruined the sport of boxing, and it's why those who are loyal to the once loyal to the sport, I should say, have now said, I'm no longer paying for this product, because if I can't get an honest judge to put down a scorecard that makes sense, and if I have question marks when watching any fight, the integrity of the sport becomes compromised. So why should I support a product in which I know that there is some corruption happening behind the scenes? Very upsetting, especially on a stage like that. I mean, there were so many people watching this fight and so many people looking forward to it, and you have a draw? I don't understand it. And, you know, this result, Isaac, I don't know if you watched the fight, but this result will, you know, this result was just about ensuring that there would be a rematch. But I don't even get it from that standpoint, because if you even give it to Triple G, you think people aren't going to want to see that product again? That fight was unbelievable on Saturday. One of the best boxing matches I've seen in a long time. People are going to pay regardless if you decide to rule it as a draw or not. But 1-8-10 to 1-10, Adelaide Byrd needs to be tested.
And that's the thing. You just hit on it right in those last 2 minutes. You did not need a draw to preserve the glory of this fight. This was the best boxing match in years. And for once, everybody was tuning in. Every celebrity, every star, every person on Twitter, everybody was tuning in to a boxing match to watch boxing. Not a UFC fighter try to box. Not a guy go for 50-0 or an undefeated record. Mm-hmm. They were watching boxing because guess what? It was a beautiful yet grisly game. And it lived up to all the hype. And I don't even have a problem with the judge who scored it 6 rounds to 6, 114 to 114. I thought he should have made a decision. I personally had 115, 113 in favor of Golovkin. But at the same time, I don't mind a draw because it was that close. The thing is, 118 to 110, it is rigged. There is not a question about it. It is rigged. You lost all sort of integrity that you might have had as a game. And now, if people want to walk away from boxing, they're right to do so.
Lions and Giants tonight on Monday Night Football. We'll have a complete recap on tomorrow's current sports. The Giants finished 7-1 at home last season and have won 4 of their last 5 against the Detroit Lions. Looking forward to seeing Matthew Stafford again tonight. They have to stop starting so slow, Isaac, and whoever wins the rushing attack will win tonight's game, I believe. We'll have a recap of that game and so much more. Thank you so much for tuning in to this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Be easy, people.